Now, as always at this time on Tuesday, Bobby Kerr, presenter of News Talk's dedicated business show on Saturday mornings, Down to Business at 10 a.m, is here to answer all your work, career and SME queries and questions. Were you punting anything
today? I was, and I want to speak to you about that because we have a horse running at the moment called Barney Dewan, and I was
Barney
wondering
Dewan.
What you're thinking.
Won't like this off ground.
Got him at 9-1.
Yeah.
Now, I had one other bet. I was reading your thing where you only won.
Bouvard Dare?
No, I had Sizing Tennessee came in third. That's okay for me. At least I didn't lose money.
All right. Now, let's talk about pets in the office. We'll digress from horses for 1 second. Is this becoming increasingly popular whereby people bring their pets, their pooches and their pussies to the work?
Well, Ivan, I'm actually staggered by this. 6,000 dogs joined the workforce at Amazon. Like, what in God's name are
at
we doing?
Amazon?
Amazon is one of
this
the companies...
This must be LA, is it?
Well, I saw it actually when I was in San Francisco last year. I went into a corporate headquarters of a well-known dot-com business, and the first thing I saw was a guy with board shorts, flip-flops, and he had a big, huge dog on a lead. I said, you know, this is a workplace. You're going to have, you know, this sort of stuff, having dog biscuits at reception, dogs urinating and defecating it around the office floor. Like, I think it's crazy.
Know, in San Francisco, they're all fruitcakes anyway.
I know, but, like, I just think a workplace is a place of work, and we can have whatever, a bit of crack and everything. This is ridiculous.
It won't catch on here, though, will it?
Well, I don't know, but one thing that did surprise me...
Like, Mrs. Slocum's pussy is not a runner here, really.
Ivan, listen to this. In 2014, when they asked US employers what percentage of the staff would it be okay for them to bring their pets to work, it was 4%. In 2018, it's increased to 8%. So 1 in 10 idiots in the US is going to allow people to come into work with their dog. I think it's bizarre. I think it's crazy. And I hope it never catches on here.
Okay, we've loads of queries. And one, which is not... And I want to come on to the snow pay and snow days all this kind of thing, but just on what you've been speaking about, Roisin in Dublin, and this is very topical. Speaking of pets, Bobby, I have a problem in my workplace, and it's not pets, it's horses. My manager insists on doing a sweep every day for Cheltenham this week, and I'm feeling pressurised to take part. I've no interest in racing, and the races seem to take priority over our offices this week. Most of the others in the office earn way more than me do, so it's easy for them to participate. Should I say no, or let them get on with it, asked Roisin in Dublin.
I was thinking about this. This might be an opportunity for Roisin to... maybe declare that she's been underpaid here in the office. I thought, like, there's a sweep every day. It's probably a little excessive. It sounds like a bit like this studio at the moment, that everybody is looking at the races and not really too concerned about anything else that's going on. But what I would say to Roisin is this. Maybe say to the boss, listen, I'm sort of skint at the moment and I can only come in on the sweep 2 out of the 4 days because you don't pay me enough. I take it from there.
Okay. Well, I think you should have no difficulty in saying no. The question that everyone has been on about, and we covered this on radio and TV during the snow, but it has come back to haunt because there was no clarity. Bobby, my manager is insisting that I put in for annual leave for the 2 days that the shop was closed during the snow. Nobody on the floor is happy with this, and a manager was silent on what we should do during the storm. Eventually, we decided to close at 1 p.m. on Thursday. A joke. What should I do and what are my rights?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately for this employee, provided that the employer gave notice of closure, he or she is entitled to say, you have to take unpaid leave. Now, the first thing he or she should do is check their employment contract or handbook and see if there's anything specifically related to bad weather in there. There is in lots of people's contracts. I've been going through some of this stuff and it is a little bit ambiguous. So Just can I go through a couple of questions here? Will I be in trouble if I can't make it in? Answer: your boss might be able to make you take unpaid leave, holidays, or work flexible hours to make up the time, even if you legitimately can't make it in. That's the law. But if you show you've made an effort and speak to them early, a reasonable boss shouldn't penalise you. And I think this is where it's at. It's worth checking your contract. We said that. My boss is trying to pressure me to come in. Do I have to travel? Your employer can't make you take an unsafe journey. Having said that, they don't have to pay you either. My office is closed due to the weather. Do I have to take a day as holiday? No. If they've closed the office and you can't work from home, then your boss can't dock your pay or make you take annual
leave. Say that one again.
If the employer decides to close the office and you can't work from home, then your boss is not entitled.
So it would just take, because I met a lot of small employers, and they'd have one coffee shop, a delicatessen or something like that, a high street business, and they closed. And they may as well be closed. There was no business because no one could get into the city. In that circumstance where the employer closed, you're not entitled to any pay. Is that right?
If you haven't given notice to the employee, so you can't just, if you're rostered on in a coffee shop for the week, right, and then all of a sudden on Thursday morning
it's shut,
that person has to be paid.
Oh, has to be paid.
Oh, absolutely. All right. No, but if the boss said, we're closing on Friday, on Wednesday, and I want you, I don't have work for you, then they can take holidays, or the other prevails. So it's slightly different, but I really do wish people would be reasonable about this, Ivan. I think it's a give and take scenario. It's unfortunate. A lot of businesses have lost a lot of money, and the ones that have lost most money are ones like restaurants, hotel rooms, coffee shops, etc., where you won't ever get the sale again. I was talking to my barber yesterday. She said to me that they were snowed under, not to use a pun, this week because they were closed last week. So they actually made up the trade. So it depends on what business sector you're in.
Okay, let's switch to Frustrated Frank, who sent in this email. Hi, Bobby. I produce a small niche artisan product. I find that restaurants are brilliant at paying on the day of delivery. But when it comes to 4 and 5 star big hotels, they either completely ignore invoices at first or fudge about when they will pay, and often pay up to 6 weeks later. I can't get an overdraft from my bank to help me with cash flow difficulties. Is there any approach I can take to get more prompt payment from these big hotels? Says Frustrated Frank.
And Frank, this is not uncommon, this dilemma that you have where people want your product, but their systems and maybe their intent doesn't pay you as you need to be paid. The first thing I'd say is to Frank is that, you know, whether you like it or not, you have to be upfront in what your payment terms are. If Frank can't get an overdraft, you know, there's no point in him taking a sale that's going to put him under pressure if he isn't paid for a month or 3 months or whatever it is. So what I'd say to him is this: the businesses that he's getting in, try and see if they'll do a COD when he starts off, that he just pay cash on delivery. Once they get to like his product, his service, his delivery, he'll find that he's in an easier place. But he should walk away if he can't afford to wait 3 months for a particular payment. He should not take the business, would be my advice to him.
All right. Sean in Cork asks, I've been offered a job to start in 3 weeks' time in Germany. Current job is a 1 month notice period, which I have to work out. But my wife thinks I'm mad to try working that period. We have to move our entire family of 3 kids to Cologne. Any advice? Now, we've had this type of query before, and you say, oh, what goes round comes round, and you should serve out your full term. You're very strict on this. But when they're leaving the country...
Well, I don't know. I don't believe. I'm very principled about that. I think notice is notice. You sign up for it, you serve it. And I do think what goes around comes around. I'll say it again. I also think that Sean here has underestimated what he's got himself into here. He's moving to a new country. It doesn't appear to me like he's checked out anything around schools, around places to live. I think he should go on his own. check the lie of the land, and then come back and move his family, rather than putting the whole family, job and everything under too much pressure.
Final question from Margaret and Barry. And this is one you could say to lots of different corporate events. What's Bobby's thoughts on using trade shows to get your face out there? We're a small family company selling preserves like jams and honey, growing steadily. But some of the big trade shows seem expensive. Are they worth it? So you have craft fairs, lots of things we'd be promoting on this show, big events, and then you have county shows and different things. Are you in favour of giving out your free samples? Well, or would you go to ones that are trade only or
no? I think I'd have an open book of this, and I'm delighted to get this query from Margaret and Barry, because if you pick your shows carefully, the first thing is that, you know, you want to, you can often get good value if you leave it to the last minute. I know, like, say Catex and the RDS or some of these trade fairs specific, if you leave it to the last minute and they have some space, you can get in very nicely. Now, you run the risk of not getting in, I accept that. The second thing is that, you know, if you decide to go and exhibit at a show, who's there? Number one, where am I going to be situated within that show? Am I going to be beside the door? Am I going to be beside a competitor? It's worth doing research and to choose very carefully your actual location within the show, but only go to shows where the audience meets you. Like, there's no point going to a show selling jam if there's no buyers of jam, for instance, there.
All right, we're out of time, but just in relation to your taboo about not having animals, the marketing manager at Goldfish, Simon, in Greystones has been on. Bobby, we have a dog-friendly office in the HQ of Goldfish Telecom in Greystones. It gives the office a whole different vibe. It's great. Very hard to have a heated discussion when a dog is pawing at you or licking you. They reduce stress and it saves staff dog sitting costs. So, we're going to have pooches on this slot from now on. I can tell you, he wouldn't be pawing or licking you. Bobby Kerr, thank you.